privilege for our people, our audience here, to get a chance to chat with you. And I certainly personally appreciate it. Let me jump right in. And I want to preface by saying, Tony, it looks like the world is closing in on college football to me. I am not a negative person by nature. I'm not usually very positive and optimistic. I have to admit, and I've admitted on the air two or three times, I may be a little negative about the situation right now with college football because we all love the game so much, and I don't want to see it become quasi-professional football. But with the NIL, the transfer portal, gambling to a certain extent being involved, and now talk about a 12-team playoff, and it's just beyond me to accept any of the arguments, some of the arguments for example, the NIL. I will tell you that I don't think college football, I think it should be the bastion of amateur athletics. And it's not now, but it certainly won't be when they open that Pandora's box. But I want to quickly talk about the 12-team because I want you to comment on all of it. But I think it cheapens the game a little bit. You know, I'm not necessarily for the 4-team, but I will tell you, I think that put a high price tag on college football and made it very expensive to get there. Now, I really was a proponent of maybe 18 playoff, but 12, I'm not even sure there are 12 teams worthy of being in a so-called playoff derby. I'm not going to remember when they only rated the top 10. AP, UPI, maybe one other service, only the top 10 teams, and people argued about maybe the 11th and 12th team. But so I don't know whether they'll even be 12 worthy, number one. Number two, this is obviously a follow-the-money lead, no doubt in my mind about that. What do you say, Tony?
Well, Coach, when the pandemic first hit last year and the whole world shut down, a very smart person that I know who understands sports and marketing and culture better than anybody I know, he said, you know, when life-changing events happen, like the pandemic, they take trends that were already in place and accelerate them. They come a lot faster. And I think that's exactly what has happened in college football. There was going to be some expansion, but a month ago I would not have believed for a minute that 12 teams would be the number, but the process got accelerated, and everybody said it's time to go big or go home. And I think you're right. I'm not sure there are 12 teams deserving, but there's going to be 12 teams picked to be a part the process. Same thing for NIL. NIL is something that was going to happen, but because of the pandemic, it happened a lot faster. Same with the transfer portal. It was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen, but it's happening right away with no limits. So there's no question that this period right now, Coach, is going to see this summer and really the next 6 months to a year, we're going to see it'll be the greatest amount of change in college football in the history of the game.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, Tony. I just hope that the change is not detrimental to the game itself. I've never believed, like some do, coaches are paid so much money and the players are the ones that make the game. That's not a true statement. Not a true statement at all. And the game was not put together, invented, or whatever you want to call it, to make money for players. That was not the intent. That when the old boys from Yale called the buddies from Harvard and said, hey, let's get together and play this new game out in the courtyard out here and see who wins. It started there and has evolved to what we know today. Now, I just have a problem with, for example, name, likeness, and NIL. How are you going to keep that equitable, Tony? Have you thought about that? You know, everybody's going to want the quarterback or the back or the receiver. Who's going to want the old left guard or the right defensive tackle? How are you going to keep, and this is the key question, I think, how are you going to keep attorneys and agents out of the picture when you open this box? I'm just going to tell you, I don't think you are. I think that's going to be a part of it. And some way, somehow, they're going to have to learn to live with it. But what are your thoughts about the equity of it?
First of all, Coach, it's not going to be equitable. There's no way you could put that system in and be equitable because it's a market-based system. It's not. See, the schools don't want any part of this. Okay, they don't want to touch it. Now they'll do what they have to do to stay within compliance, but the schools want, hey, you go into the free marketplace, and do what you can, and we'll help you, but don't violate any rules because the schools have never wanted any part of this. So there's only going to be a handful of guys that make any real money. I mean, let's face it, Trevor Lawrence would have done very well last year with a name, image, and likeness situation. Guys like Justin Fields, high-profile guys. But no, there'll be something for the old lineman, but it won't be very much. But the schools, it's not their job to make it equitable. That'll be up to somebody else.
Well, I'll tell you what is their job, and that's to keep the real problem out of it, which is recruiting problems, and how are you going to stop certain schools are going to have a distinct advantage on what they can line their kids up with, get a great quarterback or a great running back, and come to my school, and we can assure you that your name would be worth a heck of a lot more than it would elsewhere. And that's going to be I couldn't be convinced that wouldn't be a part and parcel of it some way, somehow. It may not be the head coach. It may not be a coach, but somebody would be a spokesman for certain schools, and I think we realize that. So I think you've got another problem there. How do you handle the attorneys and the agents, because we're talking about money now, and we're talking about, I think, more than you might realize. So, you know, there's another. I hate to keep throwing out problems, but I really thought about having the advantage of having you on, and I hated to weigh you down with these questions, but I really would like to have your take on it.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll go this far, Coach. In addition to things, you're going to have guys that are leaving who are going to transfer, not because they're not playing, but because they feel like they can get a better deal somewhere else. That's a part of this that not a lot of people have talked about. They'll say, hey, come here, transfer here. You'll get to play just as much, but we have a better deal for you. And so that there's no question that that's going to be a factor, Coach. It's going. Unless Congress steps in and puts in some universal guidelines, which is what the NCAA and the members want, because they're convinced that as soon as they say no to an athlete who wants to do an endorsement deal, if they have an endorsement deal that conflicts with the school and the schools say no, they're going to wind up in court. The only way to stay out of court and the violation of antitrust law, they feel, is for the government to step in and make some universal guidelines. Well, the government has not shown any inclination to do that just yet. July 1st is still the deadline when a number of states who have their own NIL laws in place. Those will go into effect. So it's going to be It's going to be a mess until you've got some universal standards. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is, and I'm going to try to get off that negative wagon I've been on and apologize for it. But there are really some questions that I've gotten from other people, that friends of mine, not necessarily on the air, but just in conversation. And like two of them, I said, I told them you were going to be on today. Listen, I'm going to bring it up, and we'll get the answer from the man. So apologize, but anyway, wanted to get those out. And the other thing I wanted to chat with you about is this transfer portal, especially within the conference. You know, that used to be taboo. And just like the National Football League, no coach or general manager, there are they going to trade a good football player to a divisional foe there within the division? They're going to trade him outside the division and hopefully outside the whole conference. So, because if he comes back to beat you, it could be your job, and very easily could be your job. So that's been in place for quite a while. Most coaches, I mean, it's not written in law, but most coaches are going to abide by that. But here in the Southeastern Conference, for example, getting in the portal, the transfer portal, and going to another team in the conference would seem to be a big, big problem for some schools. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's no question that the rules in place that you had to sit out a year and be transferred within the conference. But more and more throughout college football, conferences have been dropping that requirement. And ultimately, no one's told me this directly, Coach, but I do believe that the decision was finally made that the SEC did not need to be out on an island with that. And they said, yeah, you may transfer within the conference, but you'll stay within the conference. And why are we going to let you go to Ohio State where you can beat us in the playoffs and maybe keep us from winning a national championship? So I think ultimately the coaches are not happy with this rule for obvious reasons that you just listed. But at the end of the day, it was what was best for the conference, and it kept up with the trends that are going on elsewhere. But it's because what was happening was guys were transferring within the conference, and then they would go to the SEC office to get a waiver. And finally, the SEC finally said, hey, either you want this rule or you don't want this rule. If you want the rule, then we'll enforce it. But if you don't want the rule, then we need to get rid of it. And ultimately, that's what the SEC decided to do.
Yeah, exactly. Tony, I'm going to beg you if I can. Could you possibly stay on a few minutes? Let us take a quick break here. I've got a very important question I've got to get to you.
Sure, be happy to.
Joining us now, Mr. College Football, kind enough to make some more time for us here with Coach Kay Stevenson, the former NFL coach, talking some of the biggest stories going on right now in the offseason in college football. Tony, thank you for staying on, and really looking forward to hearing the rest of the interview.
Okay, very good.
All right. Let me tell you, first, I've got a couple of very important questions to get to, but I don't know if you found it interesting. I know I got a couple of calls last year, Georgia fans saying, oh, what do you think about this great quarterback who's going to transfer from Wake Forest down to Georgia? That's Jamie Newman. He should be a great one. Then he goes to Georgia, and he's out again. He's going to save himself for the National Football League. I can tell them I don't know Jamie Newman. I've never heard of Jamie Newman. I can't say anything about him. And now he's already been cut in the preseason OTAs from the Eagles. So I guess that was not such a great transfer for Jamie Newman to Georgia. But in the meantime,
no.
Georgia,
yeah.
I want to talk about Georgia Bulldog, because I think in looking at the SEC, an interesting fact is that of the top five teams rated last year in the top 10, the top five teams are all having to change their quarterbacks aren't coming back. They've got to go with new quarterbacks. And there's certainly quite a few in the SEC and around, Alabama, and then Clemson in the ACC, Florida. Georgia has JT Daniels coming back. I really think this may be the year of the dog. It's I've said it publicly, and I'll say it again. It looks to me like Georgia may be really sitting in the catbird seat right now.
Well, Coach, Georgia, I've spoken to a number of groups already, and what I've said about Georgia, Georgia has the talent to win every single game that they play. Beginning with Clemson, they open up with Clemson in Charlotte on September 4th. Clemson, of course, has been a playoff team the last 6 years. Georgia's defense is going to be outstanding. And with JT Daniels there, it was a completely different football team offensively when JT became the starting quarterback at the end of the year. He wasn't physically ready to go until the final third or fourth of the season. So, yeah, they could do that. When you look at the schedule, if they can beat if they can beat Clemson on September 4th in Charlotte, then their schedule sets up very, very nicely for the rest of the season. And I think a lot of us believe they're going to play Alabama in Atlanta for the SEC championship. Obviously, if Georgia wins that game, they're in the playoffs. I think the season will come down to Georgia and Alabama for the SEC championship, and the winner goes to the playoffs.
I would certainly agree with you. I think that's what I would think, to say the least. What do you feel about the West? I think the East is much more defined. I think it's Georgia head and shoulders. Maybe Florida does come in number two, but Florida's going to have a tough time. Either they're going to shore up that defense or they're going to really have they can have a tough year. Real tough year. What about the West, though? It's interesting to me with Alabama, no quarterback, coming back, Texas A&M, same situation. Then you got two spoilers over there, I think. And you never know what's going to happen with Mississippi State, the way they play football. You don't play many teams like Mississippi State, so you got to prepare for them differently. Ole Miss has gotten better. They're certainly going to be a factor anytime you play them. They could be, especially if you catch them at the wrong time in a trap game or something like that, they're going to be very difficult. And look at what people better not overlook Arkansas. I'm telling you, I think the guy went out there and did a heck of a good job at Arkansas and turned that program, has got it going in the right direction. Probably going to take him another year or two to get any depth, but look out for Arkansas. I think there's some real danger in that Western Division of the SEC.
Well, it's going to be very competitive, Coach. When you look at the SEC West, I think you have to start with Alabama, even though the losses they had, they lose their quarterback, obviously. They lose the wide receiver who won the Heisman Trophy. New OC and Bill O'Brien, new quarterback and Bryce Young. Remember that everybody wanted Bryce Young coming out of high school. He was the number one or number two quarterback in America a couple of years ago. So I think you still got to go with Alabama. I think Alabama will lean a little bit more on their defense this year than they did last year on their offense. But I still think they're loaded and recruited well. I like Texas A&M in the two spot. Even though Kellen Mond is gone at quarterback, I still think they've got talent at that position, and Jimbo Fisher is good with quarterbacks. So I think they've recruited well enough over the last 3 years to where they do it. LSU is going to be interesting to watch. They finished, they were 5-5, but they finished strong, beating Florida and Ole Miss. People tell me they're going to bounce back, and they got to prove it to me. I like Ole Miss. I like their passing game with Matt Corral and Lane Kiffin. I think he's energized that place there. And then it's Auburn, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. I agree with you that Arkansas, they went 3-7, but I tell you what, Sam Pittman did a great job coaching that team, and it could have been a lot better. So, yeah, from top to bottom, the SEC West is going to be very, very competitive.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I got him. I agree totally. Sam Pittman did a heck of a job at Arkansas, and they're on the come. They're going to get better. Got to ask you about another team. They're going back, jump back to the East. I had a request to ask you about Kentucky and Tennessee. Those two in particular. One is an alum of Kentucky, and he's got the football spirit. Feels like Kentucky's going to be a contender. But anyway, what are your thoughts about those two schools?
Well, Kentucky's going to be a tough out for everybody, just like they were last year. Mark Stoops has done an incredible job since he's been there. He now is tied, I think this is his ninth year, he's tied for the longest duration of any single coach at Kentucky. Coach Stoops refigured his offense, went out and got some new offensive coordinator. They're going to install a more up-tempo, wide-open of offense. They were good on, very good on defense last year. Right now, I've got Kentucky number three behind Georgia and Florida, and I could be talked into putting Kentucky at two. Tennessee,
yeah.
We know that new coach in Josh Heupel, we know what Josh Heupel wants to do offensively. They put up big numbers with an up-tempo offense. I'm just not sure he's got a quarterback that can do what he wants to do, and they've got to prove that. I think there's a lot of work to be done on that roster. Right now, I've got them fifth behind Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, and Missouri. And so we'll see. If they get better than average quarterback play, Tennessee could improve on that fifth-place finish. But right now, I've got them at five.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with you on that ranking, and understand that Kentucky could be a wild card in this whole thing. Certainly could be a problem with Florida for sure.
They've got Florida and Missouri both coming to Lexington. They've got a great home schedule this year, so that helps Kentucky as well.
Absolutely, it does. The overall nationally. Tony, how do you see, if you could look at a top five right now, I know this is very hypothetical, but if you could look at a top five, we've always been able to say Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame or whatever, Ohio State. But if you could look at a top five right now, what top five would you be looking at?
Oh, right now, I think and you've got to go with Alabama until somebody beats them. I think Clemson, with their overall talent, especially on defense, their defense is going to be outstanding. They'll have a new quarterback. I think Clemson's at two. Oklahoma with Spencer Rattler, quarterback, at three. Ohio State at four. They'll have a new quarterback, but they're loaded, Ohio State. Then after that, you're looking at Georgia. I think it's a top five team, top 16. Notre Dame could be there. But that I think it'll be the usual suspects when we get to the playoffs.
Right. Well, Tony, I kept you longer than I anticipated. I wish I could keep you for an hour or two, but thanks so much, my friend. We really appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Always good to be with you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. You're back.